Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Are you going to start your recording?
And greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I got it. It's on. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to take this service, Heavenly Father, and bring to us the truth of this, your word, Heavenly Father, to help us to grow stronger with the Lord Jesus Christ and within your word. Open our hearts and minds to be receptive. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Dennis.
Good morning, everyone. So I want to do something just a little different than what we've been doing. Over the course of the last few weeks, Pastor has been reading the Bible cover to cover. It's absolutely wonderful. I think that's probably one of the best things that anybody can do. And I personally have said, and I know the pastor said it as well, that we need to study our Bibles on a regular basis, not just read it, but actually study it. And you take those two combined, and it's basically what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about studying the Bible a little bit. But more specifically, two words that over the course of time, people have absolutely just messed up. And whether it be because somebody in the past said it and just kept going, kept running with it, or they were actually trying to deceive, or whatever the case may be, I don't know, but I found that it's necessary to at least on these two words to bring out what the Bible truly says about it. And I don't think most people that use these two words do it in a bad way. I don't think they do it intentionally. But I do know, as this book tells us, God is not the author of confusion. And I have listened to many, many pastors over the years, and I listen to them all the time now, whether it's MTV or YouTube or whatever it is. And inevitably, inevitably they'll bring up these two words. And every one of them says something different. Every last one of them says something different. So that's confusing, okay, in and of itself. So what I did is I took what it said, went to the Greek. And for those of y'all that don't know, every word in this book came from Greek, to include the Old Testament, because back 300 years before Christ, the Jewish scribes transcribed it over to the Greek, which was called the Septuagint. And that's what the Old Testament and this, the Holy Bible we read right now, was taken from the Septuagint. And most of the New Testament was actually written in either Greek or Aramaic, which is just another form of Greek. And for those that don't know, Greek is the most precise language in the world, always has been, and probably always will be. So that's why they use Greek. They can still see. Yeah. So the point being is, like I say, over the course of time, people have misconstrued, whether it be intentionally or just out of sheer ignorance of what they said, or they've done it to pursue their own avenues for whatever the case may be. But I do want to read one thing. It's out of Revelation. I know this is specific to this book, but I think we need to apply it to the entire Bible. Okay? And that's verse 19 of 22. If any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city from the things that are written in this book. Okay. Again, I know that is specific to the book of Revelation. However, being as we also know, God is not the author of confusion, I think it behooves us to always do our best, do our due diligence, do some little research into what we're talking about before we start talking. All right, so the word that I'm going to tell you about, and I wrote it down, I got a Greek dictionary, I had to go pull out a Greek dictionary to get the definitions. Okay? And I'm going to tell you what it says, what the definition of the word, what the word is, and what the definition of the word is before we ever even read it. And then, because you won't recognize it right off the bat. The Greek word, orthomateo, okay? The definition of this, there are three definitions. To cut straight, to proceed on a straight path, to hold a straight course, to do what is right, to make straight, smooth, to handle rightly, to teach the truth directly and correctly. That is the three definitions of this word. Okay? I'm not even going to tell you what the word is until we get to it, actually after we get to it. So we're going to go to 2 Timothy, chapter 2, and we'll just read the whole chapter because otherwise we'll be here like just another few minutes. So we're going to read the whole chapter.
2 Timothy 2.
Chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in grace, that is, in Jesus Christ. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that weareth entanglement himself with affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he not be crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be a partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and let the Lord give these understandings in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to the gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not now. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Jesus Christ with his own glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about the words, to no profit, but to subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more godliness. All right. We're going to stop right there because I literally just read the word. Okay? And that word here is two words, but in the Greek, it's actually one word, orthomateo, lightly divided. Now, let's reread that verse with the definition in place instead of lightly divided. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, to teach the truth directly and correctly, to handle it right. That don't have a thing to do with splitting the Bible up. It don't have a thing to do with, you know, the Old Testament being different from the New Testament. It don't have a thing to do with dispensationalism. It don't have a thing to do with anything. What it's saying is, teach the truth. Nothing more, nothing less. Teach the truth. That's all that's saying. Teach the truth of the word of truth. Okay. So shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their words will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faithful of some. Well, I'm going to stop right there for just a quick second, because what he's talking about right there is these two characters here, and I'm not even going to talk about your names again. We're out there already saying that the rapture had already taken place, and that they were living in the worst parts of the tribulation times. And while they were living in severe tribulation at that point, it was not the tribulation. Again, this is something really good, because if you remember last Sunday, I was explaining to you that something very similar is going to happen to us. You know, the one world government's going to come on the scene, which I don't think is too far off. That one world government is not the beast government. The beast government comes out of the one world government. And I would say, if you listen to all these people that are not properly dividing the word of God, then you get a misunderstanding of it, because several places in the Old Testament, as well as the New, it explains exactly what's going to happen and how it's going to happen and when it's going to happen. And a lot of this stuff hasn't even begun to start yet. Okay? It can literally happen over the course of night. I mean, we're that close, but we have to have a one world government first. And that one world government will start to persecute and kill and jail Christians. And that's where it all starts at. But the bulk of it is going to happen after the beast takes place, the Antichrist takes his seat. All right. In their words, as doth a canker, of whom, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God, standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And yes, you are sealed if you're of Christ. And as everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel to honor, but and to meet for the master's sake, and prepared unto every good work. We also use lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call the Lord out of your heart. The foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing what they do, tender stripes. Let me read that again. The foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing what they gender strives. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patience, and meekness, instructions, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God's preadventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement, to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by them. I want to read one other thing for you, just real quick, for your purpose. Okay. While taking that into consideration, what we just said, remember, because you're about to say, you'll have, I've seen some take that to say, well, we shouldn't be reading the Old Testament. All we need to be reading is the New Testament. I've heard some say the only thing we need to be reading is Paul. I've heard others say that, you know, the everything that's in the four Gospels going to apply to us because they were written strictly for the Jews. And in my mind, when I hear that, I'm going, well, then why are you calling yourself a Christian if you're not following Christ? Yeah, but I've literally heard that. And I'm sure some of you have too.
I went to church and people hate Jews, but I asked them, well, why are we going to work, going on, putting nice clothes on, mandatory show up to listen to somebody's Jew?
another one, and the pre-tribulationist views that, you know, most pre-tribulation are dispensationalists as well. They'll say that the Olivet Discourse was written strictly for Jews, and that's how I can get away, because the Olivet Discourse is a mirror image of the Revelations. And they'll say, well, that's just for the Jews. You know, we're not going to be here because of that. So they got to create some stuff to take what I said away. But I'm going to tell you, I don't think I said one word that is not applicable to me. Every word he said is very applicable to me, and I listen. Now, I'm not always the best follower, because we all fall, but every word he says is something that we need to take heed to. Yeah? So, just in the very next chapter, I'm just going to read one verse to you. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for repair, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. All Scripture. That's from the very first page of Genesis to the last page of Revelation. All Scripture. And like I say, I've seen many. I even went to a church one time that if you walk in with a complete holy Bible, you were shunned because you don't need to read the Old Testament. All we read is the New Testament here, and that's all they have, which is the little New Testament Bible. They never read a single word out of the Old Testament.
I don't think it makes sense.
I don't either, because you got to have a basis, a foundation, right, for everyone.
Like Matthew, it's written to a Jewish audience. Well, how am I supposed to know if I don't know what the Jews were taught, right?
Absolutely right. So there's that. And again, I'm not going to get too overly expounded on that. Just know that when it says to rightly divide the word, it means to teach the truth. That's all it means, is to teach the truth. Okay? And then another word that's in there, and a lot of people don't necessarily teach this wrong. They just don't know that that's what the word is actually is. And that's, oh, and by the way, I just want to point out that the word orthomateo is used, it's used, and I highly encourage, because like I said, don't take my word for anything. Always, always go back, do your own research. That's why I say study the Bible. But the word orthomateo is used a total of 3 times in the Bible. That's it. Twice in the Old Testament, and once in the New Testament. And we just read the once in the New Testament. Okay? The other 2 times that it is used in the Old Testament are both in Proverbs. Okay? One is in Proverbs 3:16, and the other is in Proverbs 11:5. Now, I'll just read just briefly, because I didn't write the whole passage down. I'll just read briefly what each one of them was. Proverbs 3, that way you can see that I'm not lying to you.
Fourth and the tail.
I got that out of the Greek dictionary, which I have. But you can also, for those of you that prefer to do all that stuff online, you can go to the Blue Letter Bible, click on the verse, go to the interlinear on there, click on that verse, and you literally call it that word, you click on the word, and you'll expound it even more. So Proverbs 3:6. So here's just that one word again. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's just going to put you on the straight and narrow. Because you know, I said I had three definitions. Okay. One of them was to hold a straight course, which is what that is. In all thy ways, he will direct thy paths, keep you on a straight course. Keep you on a straight course. Okay. The other one is Proverbs 11:5. The righteousness of the person shall direct his ways, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. Again, it's just keeping straight path, cutting a straight, narrow path. The other word that I want to talk to you about before we close up today, pharmakia. Okay? And some of you may have heard other people talk about this word. Right. This is used in Revelation 18. Well, I'm sorry. And it's used, and this word, I didn't look up how many times it was used, but I know it's used several times in the Old Testament. I don't know how many times in the New Testament. But it's pharmakia. And let me say one other thing. Okay. I am by no way, shape, form, or fashion saying that there's a fallacy in the Bible. Okay. What I'm saying is that over the course of the last 600 years, because that's when this was originally written over 600 years ago, over the course of 600 years, the meanings of some words have changed. Some words have just fallen out of use. And you know, you can take a word in the U.S. that means one thing and go to England, which we both speak English, and it'll mean something else. You know, take the word boot, okay? When I say boot, I'm thinking of what I'm wearing. If you say boot in England, they're talking about the front of the car. That's just an example, okay? So that's why I think it's important to go back and research some of these words to see what the intent behind the original word was. Yeah. And that's what we're doing today. Not saying that the Bible was wrong in any way, shape, form, or fashion. And nor am I saying that the people that have used these words, even misused these words, were intending to lead anybody astray, because I don't know that anybody was. It's just whenever you go back to the original, get the original meaning, and in some cases, for some of these areas, it literally changes what the whole Bible means. Just that one word. So, the word is pharmakia, and it's found in Revelation, and it's in verse 23 of it. Now, I can read the whole, if we've got time, I'll read the whole chapter to you so you can get a better understanding. But the word that they use as pharmakia is sorceries. Okay? And I'll give you the definition, and that is a good definition, by the way, because what the word actually, what pharmakia, one of the definitions of pharmakia is sorcery. But when you look at all the other definitions of what it means, and then you go to the dictionary and see what sorcery means, it has a whole new meaning to it, because a lot of people think it's just conjuring up, you know, witches and whatnot, things of that nature. But it's a little more in depth. Okay? I'm going to give you the three definitions of it, and then we'll read the verse. We'll read a couple of verses before and a couple after, that way you get the full understanding of what we're talking about. So, pharmakia, the use of administering drugs, poisoning, sorcery, magical arts, idolatry, the deception and seduction of idolatry. Okay? Now, when you read this, you can come up with very easily the first two definitions, the use of administering drugs and poisoning, and the deceptions and the seductions of idolatry. Those, both of those two definitions fit precisely with what that's talking about. We'll go back, it's a very short chapter, so we'll just read the whole thing. That way you get a full understanding. And there came one of the seven angels, which had seven vials on top with him, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that setteth upon many waters. From the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And again, what I was saying a while ago, the great whore, the Mr. Babylon, as you will, that is the one world government. Okay, so that's who they're talking about here. But who the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away into the spirit, into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Now, people say, well, and I know some of you just went, well, I never heard that there was going to be one world government, and then the beast come up out of it. If you listen to what it just said right there, you can see it again. But this exact same thing that we're reading right now is in Daniel. Okay? So he carried me away into the spirit, into the wilderness, and I saw a woman set upon a scarlet-covered beast. Okay? Now think about it. The woman whore is sitting on the beast, okay? She's controlling the beast. So she is in charge right now, okay? That's the one world government. And then out of the 10 horns comes the little horn, which is the Antichrist, or the beast government in the night of. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw a woman drunken with the blood of the saints. Remember, I told you all the start of the persecution that's going to happen under the one world government. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore dost thou marvel? And I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which had seven heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go unto perdition, and they will dwell upon the earth and shall wonder. All those that dwell upon the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life, from the foundation of the world. And they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom, the seven heads of seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And if you read the Old Testament, okay, it explains to you that the seven mountains are seven kingdoms, okay, with countries, areas, regions, and the woman on which the woman sitteth. There are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must come for a short space, and the beast that was and is not even is the eighth, and is to go, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. Okay? I know that's kind of convoluted the way they wrote it, but it's literally saying what Daniel said, the little horn, okay, he's going to kill two of the other ones, which makes him the eighth. He came out of the ten, okay, or he's going to kill three of the other ones, and that makes him the eighth, because he came out of it. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as of yet. Now this is as of John's time. But receive power to king for 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give power and strength unto the beast. They shall make war with the lamb and the lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, The waters that thou sawest were the For the four sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, they shall hate the whore, and shall make desolate, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put their hearts to fulfill his will, and agree to give the kingdom unto the beast until the word of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman that thou sawest is the great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. And after these things, I saw another angel come down out of heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sin, that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached into heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works, in the cup which she has filled, and fills her double. How much she hath poured by herself, living deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a great queen, I am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who goes with her. All kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament her, and they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for fear of her torment. Alas, alas, the great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buys their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple silk and scarlet and all thine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and manner of vessels of most precious wood and brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. Remember that one, souls of men. And the fruits of thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all these things were dainty and godly and departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, remember that too, they were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, alas, the great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with precious gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the companies and ships and sailors and many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, the great city wherein were made rich all had ships in the sea by the reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles, and the prophets, for God has avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall the great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of the harpers, and the musicians, and the pipers, and the trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more. And the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee, and the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants of the great cities and men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived, and in her was found the blood of the prophets and the saints, and all that were slain upon the earth. Okay. So I read two chapters there just to give you a better understanding of what's truly taking place there. But again,
listen to you read that, sure seems to me like America's turning into a whore.
Oh, we're definitely a whore, but the whore.
I know the whore. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, we're definitely a whore.
When I was hearing all that, I was like, good God,
you can literally see
the demons.
You can literally see all that stuff taking place right now.
Yeah.
And when you use the word pharmakia, the definition of pharmakia, a lot of people course, over the years, I mean, the closer you get to the happening, the more of the things that you can see.
Yeah.
Over the years, they were thinking witchcraft and all this kind of stuff was going on, and the conjuring and all that stuff was going on. But now, especially in light of what just happened for two straight years, okay?
Yeah.
You can see, and you can see all this stuff taking place. Okay?
Yeah.
And merchants are the 1%er. The merchants are the
they're reaping, right?
Yes,
yeah, they're living luxurious. But because they're in their billions and they can buy what they want, but we can't go out of our house.
Right. And you got the merchants like Bill Gates, which is out
sure.
there funding the pharmaceutical industry. Okay.
Yeah.
You had during the pandemic, and like I've said it many times, the so-called pandemic was nothing more than a test of what's really coming.
Yep.
Okay? They've been pandering drugs. You cannot turn a TV on right now without seeing a drug commercial, period.
Yep.
I don't care. You're either going to see a commercial pandering a drug or you're going to see a lawyer suing somebody because of a drug. That's the only two commercials that's on TV anymore.
That's why I don't watch TV anymore.
Yeah.
I do the on-demand. I want no commercials. Yeah. All drugs.
Yeah.
Swear to God.
So that's, I mean, it's blatantly obvious that the pharmacia that they're talking about is the drugs, okay? And the merchants that they're talking about is the 1%ers.
Right.
And it's blatantly obvious by the way the world's going, those 1%ers are ruling the world.
Yep.
You know, never in world history has the entire world done the exact same thing at the exact same time and shut the world down. Well, guess what? They're already got plans for round two. It's already starting. I don't know if people's been paying attention or not. July 1st, digital currency goes into effect.
Yep.
A lot of people don't realize that. But July 1st, digital currency goes into effect. It won't be much time after all the governments of the world, and this is not just the U.S., this is all of them, they're all putting their digital currency into effect on July 1st. It won't be no time after that, then we're going cashless. You'll have to go digital, whether you like it or not. You know, to start with, it's all voluntary, but it won't be long because everybody goes cashless. Now, and there's going to be people that's going to fight that. They're going to argue with it. And whether they want to go use another pandemic to collapse the economy and force it on us that way, or use the so-called war in the Ukraine to start World War III, because it's going to be another world war as well. I think the Bible tells us that as well. Or, you know, the collapse of the goods. You know, they've been shutting farms down left and right. In Ireland, they just seized 160 farms from farmers, so they couldn't farm anymore. So they seized their land, but they told them if you go out there and you raise some cows or some sheep on your land, we're taking it from you.
Well, you don't know what the truth is anymore, and that's the thing. That's why we have to study the Bible, because there's no truth out there anymore, and it's just, it's impossible. You're being fed. All the TV stations are saying the same thing. Well, Trump's bad, or take this vaccine, or So that'll be the next thing, because then they'll be shutting down your access to everything you don't agree with gay or whatever.
Right, and that's why they want to go digital.
Sure, it's not the beast like you're talking about,
right.
But it is that one will go.
Yes.
So, we're headed that way fast. I don't think we got much time left.
We're working right now. It's being set up. And our president has agreed that he probably will sign into it. The one world money.
One world health.
That's the process right now.
Right. That's what that digital currency. You know, you'll be no paper money, no checks, right? So
and something
and then
else.
They just shut you down. You're like,
Yeah, but something else that they've already done, a lot of people don't realize that he already signed over to the WHO, the pandemic relief, or whatever they call it, preparedness plan. But the WHO goes, says, I don't know if you ever read that, I highly encourage you to read it. But they're in July or August, they're voting on that, but he's already signed it off anyway. He's already made whatever changes he wanted in there. He's already signed off on it. But basically what it says, whenever the WHO thinks that they want to take charge of any medical thing, they have the right to do so, what they want to call it. I think all they got to do is say, hey, it's a pandemic, beat a common cold. Everybody's got to wear a mask, or everybody's got to get a shot.
Right? Yeah. Don't be a terrorist.
Yep. So they got to do whatever they tell you to do, and there will be UN troops inside the U.S. and every other country making sure that you either wear your mask or take your shot or whatever the case might be, whatever rules they set up. And if you don't, they are also the ones, that's the disciplinarians of it. So whatever rule they set up and they say, well, you're going to be put in jail for 30 days or you may be put in an internment camp or you can be, depending on, I mean, I know it won't happen at first, but, you know, after a course of time, they may even start executing people for that very thing. And that's already been signed off on. These things are, I mean, they're, all it would take is just a snap of a finger and everything in this Bible will happen. I mean, in lockstep. I mean, it's all the cards are there. All the cards are there. All they got to do is just flip one over and they're going to start falling like dominoes.
And, you know, that's the thing. If you read your Bible and you can, if you pay attention to the word, there's so many people just like marrying and getting given in marriage right through, like Jesus was talking about. They're not awake or asleep. And that's what he wants us doing. He wants us focused on, just watching the news and just being afraid all the time. Right? That's what he wants. And government always coming out as being replacing God, right? It's not.
But you know, the whole thing of it is those that are claiming to be Christian today,
right, or not,
how many of them, just like they did with this so-called pandemic, is not going to do exactly as they say?
Well, yeah, they are. That's why it says as long
and
as
you can't do that. If you're a child of God, you can't do that.
Well, I understand we're choosing sides every day.
Huh?
I said we're choosing sides every day.
Oh, yes.
And you're going to have to, and that's the thing.
Yep.
People aren't wanting to give up their house or their car or their children or their freedom and not knowing that that's costing them their eternal.
Well, I mean, it gets a little deeper. Honestly, it gets a little deeper and a little closer to home, you know, because what we just said what pharmakia was, the dispensing of drugs and all that stuff.
Yep.
It's sorcery. Okay. Yep. This book right here tells you
that
you're supposed to put all your faith and trust in Jesus Christ if you're sick, and he will heal you. Now, that don't necessarily mean that every time if you get sick, you're going to get healed. Sometimes it's just your time, and then that was the way that you're planned to go out. But it's still better to die and be saved than it is to go through all this crap, you know, having all kinds of poisons. And that's all. I don't care what drug it is, it's poison.
Yeah.
Because if you take one drug, you're going to have to take another to counteract that one. It's all poison. And you're putting poison in your body on a regular basis instead of just, you know what, I'm done with it. If God wants me, well, he's got
it. Like the sodas, I love drinking the sodas. When I get off, then I feel better. Trying to expect drinking water, right? alcohol that makes a lot of people. I know. I get off the sodas. So much chemicals in all the foods and everything. Right? I just, you know, it's bad.
So. We'll go ahead and stop there. It's already close to 11 minutes. So let's go to the Father and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your understanding, Lord, and thank you for being with us today. We thank you for all the wonderful gifts that you've given each and every one of us. We thank you even for the trials and tribulations that you put us through. As we know, provide us with a better understanding and deepen our faith, your word. We pray that you take care of all the people that's on our prayer list and take care of whatever need that they may have. We also pray for all the people that are already being martyred in your name. We pray that you give them the faith and understanding that they need to endure whatever it is that they may be enduring. We also pray, Lord, that you be with all the little babies that are being martyred in your name. For, honestly, for self-panic, so we pray that you be with them and comfort. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You know, we need...